This is the Joyful Mama Show. We want to help you take actionable steps toward dreams that have more impact, family life that has more peace, and motherhood that has more joy.
We think that it's time for moms to rise up in entrepreneurship and change the world. But let's face it, it's hard to sort through all of the ways we get stuck in our own heads and in all of the things we feel like we're supposed to be doing.
How can we change the world when we're overwhelmed with trying not to feel overwhelmed about homeschooling or power struggles with our kids or taking care of our own hearts, our bodies, and our minds?
We want to give you the tools to find rest, joy, and healing while also taking your business and your dreams to the next level. You know you were made for more than hustle. You can feel that you were made for more than the lies that hold you back. And we believe that you were made for amazing things that impact the kingdom of God and the people that God has given you to impact for Him. You were made to be a joyful mama, to have a heart that is thriving, not striving. And we want to help you step into the fullness of all you were created to become. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Joyful Mama Show. I am super excited about this episode. We have on Helen Morrison, who I have just been delighted to watch on Instagram. And I think you're on TikTok too, but I am not an avid TikTok user yet. You're on TikTok, right?
Yeah, I am on TikTok for brownies. Yes.
Okay, for brownies. Helen, I'm just going to give you a little overview of who she is. She's a fifth generation woman owner and the face of Frownies, which is like one of my favorite brands that I've ever discovered. Frownies, which was started in 1889, which is just so crazy to think about. But Helen is a mom of two, and she and her husband run all the marketing and social media for Frownies together. So welcome, Helen, to the Joyful Mama Show.
I'm so excited.
Just so everyone understands what's happening here, Liz is not going to be here for the first half, and hopefully she'll be here for the second half. So right now it's just me and Helen chatting it up. I would love to hear. So I've been watching you on Instagram since you asked me before, like, how did you hear about Frownies? I'm like, I don't even know. Like, we have mutual friends that we found out, and this is kind of how we got connected. But you are like all over my Instagram.
That means I'm doing my job.
I think I'm your target audience.
Yes, you are. You are our target audience. But don't feel bad. It's really like women with skin. So.
Okay. So that's what qualified me. I mean, I'm 42. Yeah. So I feel like I'm for sure. Like, I don't know what your target demographic is, but I'm loving this product. So it's definitely me.
Awesome. Well, yeah, I would say really our largest customer base is between the ages of 25 and 48. That's, you know, 98% of our customers. But I mean, we do have women who are, you know, in their 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. A lot of those women have been with us for a really long time. But obviously, with all things skincare, you're better off starting younger. So, and, you know, the younger you are, the easier it is to get great results from anything you do with your skin because you have more collagen and things like that. So, yes, you are definitely right in the middle of our target audience.
Okay. And I actually brought some Frownies with me because these are mine. I'm at the end of this box and I have been using Frownies for, I want to say like a year and a half.
Oh, I love it.
But I can't quite remember when I started them. But before we get into your story, will you just tell us what this product is, this amazing product?
For sure. So Frownies are essentially facial patches you wear at night where you sleep. They are like a wearable version of Botox as far as the results and the concept. Obviously, they are natural, non-invasive, non-toxic, and no injections involved. But Frownies, you wear them while you sleep. They essentially retrain the facial muscles to relax. A lot of people don't really realize, but expression lines like 11 lines and horizontal forehead lines primarily are really not due to age. Now, obviously, you get them faster the older you are with less collagen in your skin, but they really have everything to do with facial expression, repetitive facial tension, and really even overuse of certain muscles in our face. And so when you learn to relax that facial tension and just retraining those muscles to relax, then those lines can go away. So a lot of times people say like, oh, I look so old. And I don't think anything about age when I see someone's expression lines. I think that has everything to do with like, you're a furrower, you're always squinting and you can see it, you know? So yeah, frownies, wear them at night while you sleep. They help to relax the muscles and help give you more awareness of what you're doing with your face so that you can learn to hold less stress and tension in your brow and thus smooth the lines. So I always call expression lines because I think wrinkles have like an aging connotation, but ultimately they are wrinkle patches.
I love that, expression lines, because I have had 11 since as long as I can remember being a teenager.
Yeah.
And my dad has them. And my mom would always say, like, because I'm very passionate sometimes when I get angry, and they would come out then. And then I have been a worship leader for decades.
Yeah.
And when I would lead worship, I would get into it. I'd be singing my little heart out, and I would always be like, oh, there's my 11 super deep from leading worship and from singing or praying.
Yes. Well, you know, it's funny you said that about your dad. People often say, oh, it's genetic. I get these. It's not actually genetic, but they say that we learn our facial expressions from our primary caregiver. It's learned. And so when you're a child, I mean, if you watch, even my sisters and I, when we're together, it's like we do the same things. We say the same things. We move our face and our eyebrows the same way. We laugh the same way because it's like you learn those expressions from your social setting as a baby and a small child. And so if it's what your parents did, it's probably what you do too. So not to worry anybody who's like, oh, these are genetic, I can't get rid of them. No, they were learned and you can unlearn, you know, so.
That's an amazing thing to think about, that I learned to furrow my brow.
Watching your parents. You know, babies imitate the facial expressions of the people around them. And we try to get babies to do that, right? We smile at them. And so it's the same way with like furrowing and that kind of stuff too.
Wow. Just when I thought I had worked through like a lot of my like stuff with my parents and like, here comes another layer.
Right.
Okay. So we've established that I love frownies. I use them almost every single night. I love the idea of being able to, like you said, the expression lines. Like I like thinking of them too, not as wrinkles, but expression lines. I think that's such a cool distinction that you've made with language.
I think it's harder to speak of yourself in a positive way when you're always like, oh, like I got to do something about these wrinkles, you know? Mm-hmm. And the truth is while I think people might think of frownies, and I get criticism sometimes from people on the internet of like, oh, you're just making women feel bad about themselves, or, you know, we should just let people age in peace and this kind of thing. And I'm like, it's very, very important to me not to use like a negative marketing of like trying to make people feel insecure and thus they should buy the product. I don't want that at all. Truthfully, I think I'm all about like self-care, doing the things that you can do to feel your best, look your best, all of that, but not because there's something wrong with you. And there's also a level of aging that you have to embrace regardless. Even if you use Botox, I mean, Botox does not stop your skin from aging. A facelift does not stop your skin from aging. It just either tightens the skin or freezes the muscle or something. Like it's just not about aging to me. And I don't want people to use frownies as some sort of like, I'm against aging. I never want to age. Because it's not gonna work. It's really more just about quality of life. And as much as people, this might seem like a strange connection, the reality is there's a lot of studies that show that what we do with our face even affects our brain and how we feel. Like you can fake smile and you're going to start to actually feel happier. Smiling sends a signal to your brain that you're happy. And then the brain sends hormones throughout the body, and you actually start to feel better. If you sit around furrowing your brow all day long, you're sending a signal to your brain, there's stress and there's tension, and you know, and that sends the negative things throughout your body too. So to me, it's like just learning that sense of relaxing.
Absolutely. Like I learned from you that I had no idea that I had muscles in my forehead that could be relaxed. Like I had no idea that was a thing. And I think of myself as fairly intelligent. Like I know a lot of things about random things, but I had no idea that the forehead muscles could be changed like any other muscle.
Well, and the thing is, because there are certain wrinkles that we do have that are natural human anatomy, or it's a skin or an aging thing, right? And you can't change those. Like you have knuckles, that's not aging. You have very wrinkly knuckles. We all right. do, you know, and you can't change that. Nothing's going to change it. And you don't want to change it. You need to be able to bend your fingers, right? And then there's like skin folds, like as your skin gets looser, as you get older, or like when you're smiling and you lift the corners of your mouth and you create a little fold because of your cheeks. That's natural human anatomy. Now, some faces, if you have a really wide jaw or a very, very full face, depending on your genetics, then maybe you won't have that. But most people, if you have the apples of your cheek and you smile, you get those little wrinkles. But if you start paying attention to children, they have it too. And so it's not something that you change. But truly, your brow furrowing is muscular. It's just the same as you have bicep muscles. Maybe they're round and strong, or maybe they're long and flat, you know, like because you're not working them. So just the way we can work any muscles in the body, it's the same with the muscles in the face. It's a really cool thing. And I think it does take a lot of educating. A lot of people don't understand naturally the concept behind frownies. And I'm finding a lot of people don't even understand what's happening when they get Botox. It's just like, I don't know. I know if I do this, I get a smooth forehead. But the mechanism as to why you have a smooth forehead, a lot of people, I don't think, understand that. There's definitely, my job involves a lot of educating people around how and why and all of those things. So.
And I would love to hear, like, how did you get into becoming the face for frownies? I know that you said you're fifth generation, but like, I would love to hear the story.
Yeah. Okay. So my grandmother ran frownies my entire life, and her grandmother is the one who invented frownies. She was kind of raised by her grandmother. Her mom died younger, I think in her 50s. And so my grandmother was super close with her grandmother. I was very close with my grandmother. And, you know, my whole life, she was always, oh, one day you'll do frownies. And I was like, no, I won't ever in a million years. But I did work there as a kid, just folding frownies and putting them in the boxes and, you know, doing the little thing when I was like a teenager, I should say. But when I went to school for elementary education, I was an education major. I really didn't necessarily like have this passion to be a school teacher. I wanted to be like a missionary and travel around the world and help people. And I just figured that education was kind of a ticket to go anywhere in the world. Like if you are a teacher, you can support yourself. You can take care of yourself. It was like a trade, a skill that you could have. You could go anywhere. I also imagined I might homeschool one day because I was homeschooled for a little while when I was younger. I really believed in it. And I thought, well, I just want to have the option. This is going to be good all around. This is just a good plan. So I did the elementary education thing. I did end up teaching school for a good number of years before I had children. And my husband is a pilot. He just was finishing up his aviation training when we first got married. So we were like living on my salary doing that. And then slowly he began to transition and kind of climb the ladder in the ranks of aviation. And aviation is a really brutal industry for families. In the end, he was gone like 208 days a year. Every other week, it was 8 days gone, 6 days home and on repeat. And that was the schedule. And when you have, you know, when we were single, I thought like, oh, that'll be fine. Like I'm independent. It's all good. Like whatever. But once you start having children, that's a whole new ball game. So we were doing our thing. We started having kids. I also, this is a little side note about me. Not everybody knows, but I've actually been teaching yoga and fitness for about 15 years. With that, I was also raised in a very like all natural, we'll call it crunchy family. Back before Whole Foods and back before Instagram and all the cool homesteaders and all the things, we were doing it and it was not cool. But we ate really healthy. We were all in with that. And so nutrition, fitness, wellness was always a huge part of my life. So when my husband started flying and I stopped teaching, it just, I was only teaching yoga classes and fitness classes. And then I was a stay-at-home mom. My babies were born. And so I couldn't be as actively involved in that aspect of life. I started doing online nutrition coaching, fitness coaching, things like that. And that was where I got my start in social media. Prior to that, I didn't know what I was doing, but you just start and you learn and you know, all of it grows and develops. So for about 6 years, I was doing my own little side hustle, you know, really enjoyed it. It was really successful for my, you know, little stay-at-home mom self. In the meantime, Frownies was growing slowly. My mom was, she had taken over and was kind of running it. And it was a good little thing, but small. She was reaching out to me because she'd see the videos and the content that I was making for my stuff and was like, oh, you should make some videos about frownies. We need some YouTube videos. We need some tutorials. And I was just like, nah, like I'm busy. I don't have time, you know. But I started to kind of pay attention a little bit to what Frownies was doing. And I started looking around a little bit and it wasn't much, right? And now while Frownies was a small business, it was much larger than my little one person small business. So I started to kind of be like, oh gosh, we need to be doing more. Now I will tell you, when my grandmother passed, she gave the business officially, it's owned by myself and my siblings. So there's five of us. We were the owners, even though we were not involved in anything of the day-to-day. It was just, you know, one of those family things. And then my husband, like I said, he was flying. It was becoming very, very brutal for our family with him being gone so much. It was just a really challenging time. Just really, I would say the worst season of my life. It was hard and it was stressful and it was it was just not sustainable. He began to see that. And through a random series of events and conversations, he had always been really interested in Frownies and had always been interested in the business aspect and like, wow, this is like a really cool family asset. Like, what's going on with it? So he and my mom started having some conversations around it. And then there was all this like, oh, this is so great. Like, you guys need to move to Ohio and you need to help take over the business. It's going to be awesome. And I was like, no way. We're not moving to Ohio. I'm not doing that. But it did kind of put it on my radar. And then there was this thought of, well, maybe if we could get involved with Frownies, my husband wouldn't have to fly anymore. Now, he loves flying. He had no desire to leave flying from a selfish standpoint, but he knew he couldn't do it in the way it was affecting his family and the kids and me. So we kind of worked out a situation or a deal like with my mom and with Frownies that we would come on board because I was like, okay, I'm looking at your social media. There's a lot we can do here. And my husband has a marketing degree. There's a lot we can do there. Like, we'll come in, we'll get started, we'll see what we can do. So at first it was just a little like doing the Instagram stories, some posts, and Instagram reels and TikTok were not, I mean, TikTok was a thing, but it was small and we were not in there. Instagram reels hadn't started yet. So we get going. I'm about a month or two in and a girl who follows my social media personally reached out to me and sent me a link to a TikTok video featuring Frownies. And it's what I would say was the first Frownies TikTok. And it had like over 2 million views. And wow. I saw it and I knew the power of TikTok for business, but I was just like, I didn't want to do short form video. I hadn't had a lot of experience with that. And it just seemed exhausting. And I was like, I don't want to do that. But when she sent me that video and I saw it and everyone's like, what are these? Where do I get them? All this. I was like, oh man, we need to be on TikTok. So that was December of 2020. So I started our TikTok account and was like, okay, great. Like, let's do this. So I posted my first video and it was immediately, I mean, considering we had started with zero followers, it was viral. I mean, we had like over 40,000 views right away. Posted another video, 60,000, another video, 120,000, another video, 250,000. It just was like one after the other, after the other. And essentially the entire year of 2021, we were in some way, shape or form viral the whole year. So then all Instagram reels came out. So I started jumping in there and started posting there and trying to kind of challenge myself like, okay, just like one piece of content every day. Like, let's just see what happens. And it just caught like wildfire. And in 2021, we grew our TikTok account to like 150,000 followers. We have videos from that year that have like over 8 million views, like just the whole year was just insane. The growth was astronomical. I mean, it just, everything blew up and it was crazy. And we did not have the internal structure or bandwidth for that either. Mm-hmm. So it was a year of just madness. And we were actually like the number three searched term on Google in beauty for 2021. So it was just crazy. And then honestly, it kind of kicked off this entire viral trend of Frownies, face taping, all these things, like other types of face patches, just was a whole thing. So, you know, that was like virality, which was awesome, but it's not sustainable. So then, you know, 2022, we really focused on, like, with my husband, paid marketing, you know, and ads, and like, how do we harness this virality into something that's more predictable? And again, huge levels of growth in 2022. Here we are in 2023, same thing. We've kind of shifted our strategies and still like seeing such great growth and things like that. And still a lot of different things happen that are viral, but now more through, I do a lot with building relationships with other content creators and other Instagram accounts and TikTok accounts and doing podcasts and doing, you know, all the things behind the scenes, in addition to seeing, like, obviously seeing my face every day on social media too. But it was really, honestly, I definitely feel like it was something that God opened the door for us to be a part of. And we had no idea what was going to happen. And we had no idea the growth and really the favor and the love for Frownies and all that is. And at the same time that there was some aspect of, oh my goodness, like, this is crazy, viral, magical, you won the lottery. At the same time, truly, there has been a lot of strategy behind it as well. I am huge on relationships. And, you know, like I said before, I never wanted to be in business. I never wanted to do anything like that because I was like, no, I care about people. Like, I want to do something with people and I want to build relationships with people. I cannot fake anything. What you see me be excited about, there's certain products I talk about every single day. It's because I am somebody who is like genuine raving fan of the things that I love and I can't not talk about it. And I feel that way about Frownies. I love Frownies. They work. The results are amazing. I get to see customers before and after pictures every single day. And it's just so fun. It's so exciting. And more than even just like skincare, because I wouldn't say I was like passionate about skincare. But I am like into beauty and more from the standpoint that I love seeing women feel good. I love seeing women feel confident. I love making women feel good, whether it's through encouraging them, supporting them, helping them like look in the mirror and like what they see, all of that. And I think that bringing that love for people into business made me see like, oh, I didn't know that that was part of business. And I think just as important as having a really great product is also having a connection and a community and something, especially in a business that's marketing to women, it needs to be more than just products. It needs to be something that like women want to connect. Women want to support each other. Women want to have relationships and build relationships. And I think social media is such an amazing tool if you're using it for good to facilitate that and to allow that. And so I think that we've seen our audience and our customers just really resonate with the support and the care and the one-on-one touch. And like, I always want to be, no matter how big anything gets, I want to be in the DMs talking to customers. I want to be connecting with people. I want people to know that they're valued and they're important, not because they're going to buy something from us. So for me to be able to come in and really not even think about the bottom line or the dollars or whatever, and instead just be the face of the brand and get to connect with people, I think that that's why it's been such a powerful thing. And also, I know that my 6 years experience prior to using social media to build communities and build personal brand and to build connections and all the ways that I use it as an individual, translating and bringing that into a business, especially a family business, it really created that personal touch that I think people want. And it created a relatability to where you're not just buying from a company, but you're buying from a family. And even more than buying from a family, you're buying from a person who's your friend, you know? And that's what, for me, I genuinely do feel like the customers are my friends. Like, I know their names and I see them pop up on the DMs and I watch their stories. Like, yeah, it's a business, but I feel like for me, I will always treat it like it's a personal connection, just like anybody who has Instagram account and their friends and their family are following them and they're going to interact with them like they're real people. And I see that that is such a powerful thing. And that in our world today, we need more of that connection and relationship. I was fortunate enough that because of the success we had, the powers that be in our company were like, okay, great. Like, it's working. I guess, like, do it. You know, I don't know that if I had presented, this is my idea. Here's how I want to do it. I don't know that they would have believed it would be as powerful as it has been, but I think being given the permission to do that and then see the results, it's really taught me a lot about doing business a different way, I guess. You know, my husband and I now have kind of like a marketing and consulting company, and we've done some different consulting calls with other brands and companies to kind of share, here's what we've done. And it's fun to watch people that we know and their businesses implement some of the same non-strategy. It's like a new refreshing take, I think, on business and marketing, right? Rather than like massaging points and like, do you hate your hideous wrinkles? Well, I have a solution for you. It's like, no, are you kidding me? Like that? I can't. Like that's gross. But that's kind of the old school marketing, right? And I think people are sick of that. People are sick of false promises and grandiose claims and you making people feel bad about themselves to get them to buy products. And so I just am really proud of how we've stayed far away from that. And yeah, I mean, I just look back and it's like, I see how woven through the entire journey of my life, even from like being a school teacher, building relationships, teaching yoga, doing my online coaching, learning social media because of that, learning community development because of that, and then getting into Frownies and all that has happened. It's like you can see the thread woven through all of it, that it was all in for a purpose and an intention to bring us to where we are right now. And I think my husband and I even talk all the time about like the future and what is happening right now. And like, who knows the like really cool stories that will be told from what we're learning here in what's down the road as well. And I think it's just, you know, it's all connected. And so I don't know if I answered your question, but I'm going to stop talking now.
I have so many thoughts about what you said. And I hear like my business mentors like ringing in my ears as you're talking, like, but he would always say there's favor in your face. And I feel like I see your face every day and I see you in my Instagram feed. I see you in my Facebook feed with ads. And by the way, I have gone on to the Facebook ads and like clicked on them, like, stop showing me this ad. I don't want her to keep paying for this. I've already bought this product.
That's funny.
I'm already a devoted customer. But then also just the principles of the kingdom work everywhere. And I hear like you talking about just loving and serving well and like loving people and like being interested in them and having more in your mind than just the bottom line and how much money you're making, but you're really out there to serve women. And I love that so much. I could see a case study being done in business school on the Frownies brand. And kind of what you're doing to strategically, not strategically, impact women through your marketing, because it is more. We are all looking for authenticity. We are all looking for people to be honest with us. We're so done with shame-based and fear-based marketing, and everybody's looking for real connection. And I feel like you're giving that. And it's through a product, which is unusual.
Yeah. And you know, that's the thing. If you want to have a good product, it's got to solve a problem, right? I feel like in this realm, it's a lot deeper than just like skincare. And I think ultimately most products for women are deeper than just the product. You know, women have a lot of feelings and there's a lot of pressure and a lot of stuff. And for me, I can't even tell you the stories that I hear from people that are like, you know, you've changed my life. I'm like, because of Frownies? But yes, it's where it's like, you know, I was just feeling so terrible about myself. When you feel terrible about yourself, it trickles into so much more of your life that if in one small way, somebody can start to feel good when they look in the mirror. It's like, I don't know if you know Mel Robbins, but she has all those things where it's like, you know, high five yourself in the mirror and all these things. And it's so true that it's really powerful what you think about yourself and how you feel about yourself. And, you know, now there are plenty of people who you may have 11 lines and all these, you know, expression lines and wrinkles, and you look in the mirror and you love it and you don't even care or notice. That is great. And I don't want to point them out to you and tell you you need Frownies. You don't. If you're happy and you don't care, carry on. Now, everybody does need good quality skincare, and I love our skincare products just as much. And if you don't have a good skincare routine from the standpoint of like skin health and keeping like toxic stuff out of your body, check out Frownies skincare. More than that, you know, I don't think everybody has to use Frownies, and I don't think everybody has to care about their 11 lines or whatever. But if you do, and it's bothering you and it's making your quality of life worse, and your life can be improved, and I can help you feel good to where you're like, I'm a happier mom, I'm a happier wife, and this is trickling into the rest of my life, then let's go, you know? And so that's the thing. It's just like, it is just a product, but I think with women, nothing's ever just a product. I don't know. This is me. Like, I'm that raving fan customer person, but it's like, I have like the sunscreen that I'm obsessed with. I have like the heatless curl band that I love, and I can like get together with friends and we can talk for hours about the heatless curls and here's how you do it. And this is how I like to do it. And this is the way, and this is when, and this is why. And then if I do this, I like it like that. And you know, and you can go on and on about a product. Trust me. I feel like women can talk about any topic for it like at length, you know, anytime. I think that's the thing I love about women is like, we have the ability to connect with each other so easily. You know, it's like men kind of need like an activity to go do together. Cause at first the conversation is going to be a little clunky, but like, I mean, stereotypically so, right? But like women, right. Like I can get together with anyone, anytime, a stranger in the grocery store, and we could strike up a conversation and want to trade phone numbers at the end and like be new best friends. Right.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's a product, but it's really, everything's about a relationship and finding people who have the products that you also want, you know? And then it's like, we love this favorite thing together. And then we're like having a girls' night and watching movies and wearing our Frownies. And it's like the best time ever, you know?
Yeah. My husband said to me, so I had done like a series of stories about my Frownies because I am also that raving fan. And yeah. I'm totally on the heatless curl band, thanks to you. The curl band bandwagon. But he was commenting and he said, it's so interesting, like how women love to share things they love. He's like, men don't really do that. And I was like, you know, you're right. And that's a stereotype like I can get behind. Like we are like in general, we love to talk about
what like my shirt. It's from Target and I got it and it was this much money and they still have them in these three sizes. Go get one.
Yes. Like Liz and I even, we always like we're texting each other like, hey, get this on Amazon or like, hey, where'd you get that? Or like we as women just love to help each other and we love to share what we think is going to help someone else. And it's just a beautiful quality
around.
I know. And when you bring that into business and entrepreneurship, it's like, oh, I can do this in business.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's a cool thing. You know, I think also, you know, in the world we live in, more often when we were little girls, more men were in business, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I am fortunate that I have 134 years of family legacy that the women were also in business, right? But even as a kid, I didn't really notice it. Like my grandma did it, but whatever. Like she just did her thing. I never really paid attention to it, you know? But I think what's really awesome, and like I have a team of women, right, that work with me. And we just had like a kind of a 2024 planning powwow, and we're all remote, but we all got together and it was like, man, I love this. Like women in business together, healthy women, you know, in a good place is so powerful. It's so fun. It's so magical and dynamic. And the results can be just crazy, especially if you're in women in business marketing a product to women all day long. There, you can't have only a men doing this. Men could not sell Frownies like this, you know? This is like, if you don't know how to be like my new best friend in the matter of 5 minutes and tell your whole life story and every product you have in your like, you know, bathroom cabinet, then you can't do this. This is a women's world right here. And it's really fun to be in business with other women and to do it differently. You know, it's like at the end of our team powwow, we're all hugging and telling each other we love each other and we can't wait to like get together. It's like women can't help but have relationships. And I think in oftentimes in the world of business, women can be kind of I think the strengths that we bring to the table can be kind of ignored. And it's like things can be done like the men's way. And I think there's such an amazing component of compassion and empathy that's brought into business even. Because we have some men who work at our company, but I think it's cool like when there's that soft touch of let's show that we care. Let's let that out because actually, you know, men need it too. But it's just that I think the world of men in business can be powerfully influenced by women bringing that side of things into a company. And we're fortunate because it is majority women to be able to experience that. And I love it.
That's so great. I love everything you just said. We can pause for a second and say hello to Liz. We didn't actually say hello to you.
The most awkward interruption ever. Hi, Helen.
Hi.
So to see you guys. I'm like, man, I'm going to re-listen and take notes. This is so good. I love everything you're sharing. Yeah. So we usually like to wrap up our podcast episodes. I especially do asking just in terms of like, you know, the landscape of your life. And it sounds like obviously you're really passionate about women and women in business and just empowering women to feel great about themselves and to be confident and to feel beautiful and all of that. But when you think about how you'll be remembered and the legacy you will leave behind as a woman, even outside of business, you know, how do you want to be remembered? What's the legacy you want to leave behind? And as you're creating your life and creating all the things you put your hands to, what is the legacy that you want to leave?
That's a great question. Ultimately, the most important thing to me and what I want to be remembered for is I want to be remembered for loving well. I want to be remembered as someone who really loved people and who encouraged people and who made people feel loved and valued and seen. And the reality is for me too, I do love them. I love people. I feel like when I can look at someone and talk to them, I often say like, I feel like I have like compliment throw up syndrome. I see a person and I'm like, oh my gosh, you're amazing. And I love you. And I have to tell you all the things about you that I see and that I love. And the truth is I just don't think most people get to be seen and loved and valued as much as they should be. Because truly, I mean, like, as much as we love the sunrise and the sunset and the magical ocean and all the beauty of creation, it's like, I think people are the most amazing creation. And I think I want to leave people feeling like more alive and loving themselves more because they're like, I want to show them themselves and get them to be like, wow, that's who I am. Like, okay, let's do this. And so that's my thing is I want to be known for like loving well and for making people's lives better on the inside, right? Not just like, oh yeah, I brought you dinner while you were sick, but like, on who they are on the inside, I want to help them come alive and feel as amazing as they are. I think it's funny. Christmas is right around the corner. I don't know when this podcast will be released, but my favorite movie of all time, and this like makes me emotional, but my favorite movie of all time is It's a Wonderful Life. And at the end, when they all like come in and they're like showing George Bailey and how one man's life touches so many other. And it was like, if you weren't there to save your brother and your brother wasn't there to save the next guy, you know, whatever. And the way that they all pile into the room and the lesson of like, no man is poor who has friends and like the impact of one life on so many lives. I love that. To me, that's what I want. I would want whether it's my funeral or in my lifetime, if there was an opportunity that it was like, you know, the idea of like, oh, Helen's in trouble. She needs help. To be able to look and see like the room flood full of people whose lives were affected and who knew that they were loved and whose lives were touched by the encouragement that I brought to them or the light that I could show to them or the way that I truly saw them. Like that to me is like the ultimate life well lived. You know, it's like kind of is weird that I'm doing that through like a wrinkle patch. You know, but I think it's just like the lesson for everyone and anyone is like, no matter what your product is, no matter what you're doing, I mean, if you're a mom just dropping off your kids at the pickup line at school, like my husband actually drops our kids off at school, but like the days that I do go, like I love getting to just like grab the other moms and hug them and like have that moment of connection. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we were created for, is to be connected and is to be, and I mean, you know, like with my relationship with the Lord, with also my background in teaching yoga and like the idea that like really we are one, we are connected, we were meant to be one. And I mean, Jesus even prayed, like, make them one as we are one. And it's like, that's what I want to bring into the world, is more connectivity, more love and encouragement and helping people, like restoring that. Like that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be connected. We're not supposed to be angry haters, you know, trolling other women like that. I'm like, what? You know, I want to create that love and connection and space for that. So,
wow, that's the best answer I've ever heard. We ask a lot of people that question. Sarah, would you agree? I mean, that was the best answer I've ever heard.
Yes, it's so us too. And I feel like you're like an unapologetic gusher. And yeah. I have to admit that I always feel a little bit embarrassed at how much I gush and want to gush over people. And I'm like, and I think like I've just received just a little bit permission from you to be unapologetic about my love for gushing over people and my love for just like talking about them. And like,
and you know, it is my goal. Anytime anyone compliments someone to me privately, like that person's not there, I'm like, I'm telling them. Like, because you know how often it's like we have these cognitive distortions of like, oh no, they probably think this about me. They probably think that. And I'm like, no, I was in the room with them and we were talking about you. And here's what they really said. They think you're incredible. They think you did this, you did that. They were telling me about how that time, you know, da da da. And it's like, oh, people don't realize that people are most often not looking at you and thinking negative. They're most often looking at you feeling grateful for the things you've done and said, whatever. But so many people don't gush. They don't share. They don't cry and pour out their heart, because emotion and the vulnerability of that for a lot of people is uncomfortable. And so it's just like, I'm like, I'll go first. I don't care. We all need this. Like, we all need more like real, true, authentic, like space to feel the emotions and share them. And, you know, and so I'm like, let's all gush. Like, let's, because when you do that, you give permission to someone else to do that too. And most people are living in this like guarded, alone space where they don't get to feel that connection and that touch. And so I'm like, it's okay if I look like a fool, because I know y'all love it. I know y'all need it.
What a thing to trailblaze. You're like, I'll go first. I'll be the pioneer and I'll help all of you guys be comfortable and okay with encouraging each other in the way you really want to. Because I feel like we really want to. We just feel embarrassed.
Yes. And honestly, the more you do it, the more you kind of get free and you realize like, wow, that feels great. So why would I not? You know,
I have to ask, have you ever taken the Enneagram?
Yes.
What are you?
I am a 9 with a really strong 8 wing.
That's what I am.
Really? All my favorite people are 9s. No, that's so funny. Yes, that I love it. You know, and a lot of people who maybe don't know me really well don't know. They couldn't guess what my Enneagram number would necessarily be. Because, and quite frankly, for me, anything about Enneagram 9 that I hear, I'm like, those things about what Enneagram 9s do, I don't do those things. But how Enneagram 9s feel and their motivation is all me, you know? Mm-hmm. And also, I think with my 8, I want peace, but I want inner peace, and avoiding conflict, to me, that does not bring peace. That makes it worse. Right. Mm. Like, so I'm not like an avoidant peacemaker. I think real peace comes from having the hard conversation and being at peace inside, rather than just like fake peace between me and you. But inside I'm like all torn up and I'm angry and frustrated and I'm like you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things that I feel like I read, you know, the stereotypical nines. I'm like, yeah, I don't really do that. But
That's so funny.
Just like you, Sarah.
Sounds yes, I'm always like, but what about the wing eights? Like, yeah. What about the rest
that's
of
the thing. A nine with a wing eight is basically a whole category of person that is absolutely not a nine, except for that your inner motivation is like, yeah, I just, everything is like peace, path of least resistance. Like, I just want to sit by the pool and read a book. And even though I might look like I'm a three who's doing all the things and achieving all the stuff, I'm only doing it to get it all done so I can go to the beach. Not because I actually have to be important. Like, I don't want to climb a ladder. It's just somehow I am, you know?
Yeah. I always say I'm an eight on the outside and a nine on the inside. And that I'm like two different people that live together.
That's how I feel. It took me a long time to figure out. And even taking the Enneagram test, it's like, I don't know. Like, am I a three? Am I a two? I'm not truly like a helper, like the person who's all, like, that's not me, but I care about people and I don't know. And because the nine thing was just, but I actually listened to some podcasts about nine wing eight. And I was like, oh, everything you just said is exactly how I feel. And that is me. Mm-hmm. But just nine descriptors is like,
I'm so not surprised.
I love it.
I think there's also like the healthy version of whatever number you are. And then the unhealthy. Right. You guys are obviously both the healthy extreme of a nine wing eight. It's so funny. As you're describing yourself, I'm like, that sounds exactly like Sarah, because she, I know. Yeah. She'll have the hard conversations. She loves Pete.
And I literally met you because I was gushing about frownies.
Oh, she gushes over frownies. It's so funny.
Yes. How many times have we talked about frownies, Liz?
Well, and it took her a while to convince me, because I'm like, I don't want to mess with like spackling my head every night. Like, for real.
Spackling. Like, that's awesome.
That's how it felt to me. But then she's like showing me the pictures, and then she's like, it literally just takes a couple minutes. It's not like it's this huge thing. Anyway, but yeah, her gushing. And Sarah's just such a, you know, she won't gush over something that she doesn't actually love. She's such a genuine and like real person that I'm like, all right, if you're going to, you know, she got me on the heatless curls too. If you're going to be all in on this thing, then it must be really good. And so anytime I need a recommendation for really anything, I'm like, all right, Sarah, be love, send me the links, send me the YouTube.
That's how it is with my friends and me too.
I love it.
Oh man. Well, tell everyone how they can find you. You're on Instagram, TikTok. Are you anywhere else?
Well, let's see. So if you're looking to follow Frownies, we are on Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, YouTube. I think we're even on Snapchat. And if you want to follow my personal, we're on Facebook too. We do have a Facebook VIP group, business page, all of those things. But if you want to find my personal Instagram, it's Helen K. Morrison. Same thing on TikTok, Helen K. Morrison. I don't put a ton up there, but I am there and I do post to my stories and things like that. And I have ambitions for whenever things slow down with Frownies to put out more content on my own personal, but it's there. So that's how you find us. And for Frownies on Instagram, it's just at Frownies. And on TikTok, it's at Frownies Family. But if you just search Frownies, you'll find us. We're everywhere.
You're up there in the search.
And then your ads are balling. Your ads are, the retargeting ads are like so, so good. I was telling a friend the other day about Frownies and I'm like, we talked about it. So now they're going to find you.
The ads and how like all of that happens is so crazy, because I literally talked about Madewell jeans on my Instagram stories. My husband doesn't even know what that is. And the next day he's getting Madewell ads on his phone. And I'm like, what? How did that happen? Okay. That's bizarre. It's one thing if I get the ads.
Yeah.
Crazy world.
Oh man. Well, it has been a joy and a pleasure to have you on here. And I am so thankful that you gave us your time and that we get to help promulgate the message of your life and about your business to all our listeners. And yes, just thank you so much.
And I don't know. I know you said your listeners are primarily moms, right? And I know a lot of moms these days do have like little side hustles and things like that. And like I said, too, If you, anybody who's listening is like watching what Frownies is doing and, you know, wanting to do a consulting call to just chat about their social medias or their things and like get some feedback or just analysis of what they're doing. I do offer like one-on-one consulting calls too. And they can just reach out to me on my personal Instagram if they have questions, like business questions more so than just like a Frownies question. Mm-hmm. I love to talk about social media and marketing and doing it in a different way. And so I'm always open to that too.
Okay. That's awesome.
Amazing. That's so
awesome. Oh, well, we hope that you guys have enjoyed Helen as much as we have and that you can learn from her and her spirit and everything that she brings of the love that's inside of her and be encouraged to release it and gush and encourage the women around you and serve and love well through your businesses and to your kids and your family. We love you guys and we will talk to you next time. Bye.
To get our free heart-centered homeschooling ebook or to book a breakthrough call about homeschooling or business with Sarah, visit the links in the description of this podcast. Also, we always want to hear your questions or ideas for new podcasts, so do please slide into our DMs on Instagram or post in our Facebook group. We would love to hear from you.